All right, well, it feels like we're back in the division here. It was kind of unusual not to have Pittsburgh on the schedule last year, but looks pretty familiar. Coach LeBeau's got the defense plan, the way they always play. I think Polamalu has been really disruptive this year. He's clearly an impact player, guy you got to have your eye on, every time you snap the ball offensively. And I think their offense is, definitely an explosive group. A lot of big play receivers, got Miller back at tight end. Of course, Roethlisberger's a handful to deal with. Strong guy that's just really hard to tackle. And they got good depth at the running back position. All three of those guys have contributed. Fullback and, explosive return game. Very good coverage team. Lead the league in kickoff coverage. They're good, a good team, spending a lot of close games, lost a couple tough ones, but, a team we have a lot of respect for, a lot of good football players, a lot to get ready for. We're going to have to really, put our foot on the pedal this week in terms of our preparation to refamiliarize ourselves with the Steelers schemes and some of the new players that we haven't seen since the last time we played them. And I got a lot of young guys, a lot of good young players.
Bill, in reference to the trade for Sabuaga, how would you describe his strengths as a player?
He's basically played defensive tackle and nose tackle throughout his career. So it's a strong guy, physical guy.
And in terms of how they were using him in Philadelphia, obviously every defense has a little bit of differences to it. defensive tackle there, pretty much the same thing that you would ask him to do here, or different?
Yeah,
techniques?
Same thing he did in San Francisco. Yeah, I think that's pretty much what he is. I mean, I don't think he's an edge rusher. I mean, that's not really his thing,
But different techniques, like, were they basically asking him to play the same techniques? Or sort of
yes and no. Yeah, I'd say there's some differences, but then there's certainly some similarities.
You mentioned that Talib deal was something that happened right up minute before the deadline. Is this a similar sort of situation, or did you know that he'd be available?
I really handled this one. Nick did most of it, but I would say that it came together at the end. Best way to characterize it.
Well, you talk about how the next man up philosophy helps in a year when you lose guys like Mayo and Wilfork to be able to step up and do that job, or at least do something close to it?
Well, I think that's where really at that in that mentality from, the day we step on the field as a football team. It's great to have everybody available. It's great to have all your players and be at full strength. The reality of it is that's usually not the case, and every team in the league, goes through the same thing somewhere along the line. So, all the players that are on the team have a role, and they have to be ready when they're called on to perform that role, whether it's practice squad guys moving up to the roster, whether it's backup players moving up to be starters, whether it's guys playing different positions on their side of the ball, whether it's additional contributions in the kicking game, whether it's guys in the kicking game that now have a bigger role in offense and defense, that's just the way it is. And we have to be able to adjust during the game when those situations occur, or during the week, or during the year if it's a long-term thing. And that's not always the same move. Sometimes the move you make during the game isn't maybe the move you would make if it was a season-ending type of situation. But whoever it is and whatever the circumstances are, we have to be ready to adjust to that. And that's why we, in training camp, work different combinations of people. They double up different positions. You never know when those kind of things are going to happen. Fortunately, we haven't been in the situation this year where we're having to take offensive guys and put them on defense and stuff like that, which at times we've had to do in the past. It hasn't gotten to that point. But, we've had to make some adjustments. But, you can look at every team in the league, and, they've all had to make them too. So that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Bill, when you talk about keeping an eye on Polamalu every snap, does he freelance more than other players at his position? Is he unpredictable because of what he does, taking chances?
Yeah, I'd use the word, I'd say about instinctive. He's a very instinctive player. And you can say that he's guessing, taking chances. I'd say he's right most of the time. most of the time. He makes the right decision. Whether some of those plays are called blitzes or he just blitzes on his own or he has the – I don't know exactly how they do it. But there's times where you look at it and say, that's not really where he's supposed to be. But he's – where he is the right place to be. You know, he's right in the middle of the play or he's doing something that's disruptive to the offense. So however all that's orchestrated, I don't know. But, you know, you just can't let him run free and ruin the game. And – just because this is where they're supposed to be isn't necessarily where he is. And he's very, very instinctive. He has a great nose for the ball. A lot of times he ends up in the center guard gap. Sometimes he ends up in a tackle tight end gap. Sometimes he's, you know, 20 yards deep. Sometimes he's out in the flat. Sometimes he blitzes off the edge. And sometimes he lines up in one of those places and runs somewhere else as part of the disguise. So... it's really hard to tell even where he is, whether he's going to stay there or not when the ball snapped. He has excellent timing and has a good feel for the game, makes a lot of plays. And even when he plays close to the line of scrimmage, he plays very strong. You know, he can definitely hold his ground even against offensive linemen. When he gets blocked, it isn't like they knock him out of there. He can... you know, penetrate and, you know, take up a couple blockers or hold his ground there very competitively, you know, for a guy his size. And he's fast and he can make a lot of plays from the backside. He's a good tackler, strong and, you know, very, very physical, but very instinctive. So call it whatever you want to call it, but he knows where the ball is and where it's going and he gets to the right place at the right time. Way, way, way more often than he's wrong.
You mentioned Roethlisberger and how difficult he is to bring down. Is there anything that you can do this week to try to, if you do get a shot at him?
And let Solder take some plays back there, quarterback. Let him be the scout team quarterback for a few plays. I mean, that's what it's like. You see guys hanging all over him, hanging on his legs, hanging around his waist, and he stiff arms them and still throws the ball 40, 50 yards downfield. He can throw without his legs. I mean, you can be draped on his legs, and he doesn't need to step in and throw. He has the arm strength to, you know, to let it go, you know, more than half the length of the field. You know, there's been a bunch of times where, you know, guys have gotten a clean shot on him, and it's almost – like he looks out there and knows that they can't bring him down or at least can't bring him down right away. And he just, you know, stiff arms him or shrugs him off and stands in there and throws. So, you know, it's a hard thing to simulate in practice because you're not hitting the quarterbacks and, you know, that's not the point of it. But I think the emphasis is, you know, knowing that this guy is a very difficult guy to tackle. He doesn't really run away from people very often. He just runs through them or finds enough time for the receivers to get open. And the receivers are very good at that, too. They do a good job of – I mean, look, he's scrambled and extended plays before, so they know that if they keep working to get open and adjust their route or find an open space, that he'll find them, and he often does. And they create a lot of big plays that way. So it'll really be incumbent on our pass coverage to not lose track of their guy or the guys in their zone and not get caught up in – you know, if Roethlisberger starts to run around a little bit, that we still got to take care of our coverage because the plays just extend and go longer than a lot of other teams' plays. So they do a good job of it. They do a lot of it, not by design, but it just happens that way. And they're very productive doing it.
With the reserve list guys, Armstead and Harrison, any clocks starting for either of them?
No change.
It looked like Dane Fletcher was the lone linebacker in dime. What do you typically look for in a player in that role, and what do you see in Dane there?
In the Miami game, you know, we had a number of different roles for different people. Jamie, Dane, obviously, Donta, and Brandon Spikes. We had different guys doing different things. But, you know, I think anytime, you know, you have a sub linebacker on the field, he's got to, you know, be able to play in space, be able to cover man-to-man, and usually has some degree of blitz assignments or responsibilities. And you always have to be alert for, you know, sub runs in that situation. There's usually not very many of them, but, you know, it's third down, so you got to, you know, they're big plays if they hit them, so you got to be able to stop them. So it's, you know, it's all those things. Multiple receivers on the field, three, four, however you want to count some of these tight ends. You know, guys like Clay or guys like Heath Miller, you can call them tight ends, but they're just, you know, big receivers. So, you know, matching up against those kind of skill players as opposed to fullbacks and blocking tight ends and kind of early down running backs is different than, you know, sometimes the five, four or five skill guys that are, you know, really good in space, good athletically in a passing game that you see on third down. So the matchup's a little bit different.
Is that on Miller? Is he more often in the pass routes and staying at the line of scrimmage, Heath Miller?
Well, I mean, he, you know, definitely blocks in the running game, but, I mean, he's a hard guy to cover in the passing game. You know, he's big, he's instinctive, he's got a big, he's a big target, he's got good hands, a good big catch radius. He's slick. I mean, he's experienced and savvy in his route running. So yeah, he's definitely a tough guy to cover. I mean, in the red area, third down, play action. I mean, he's, you know, I'm not saying he's going to catch 100 balls, you know, a season, but he's a productive pass receiver, and yeah, they go to him.
Would you put him in the not the same category as pass catchers, like a Gonzalez or Gates? But he blocks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Say he blocks a little more than maybe that those guys like Gonzalez.
More and better, yeah, absolutely. He's a complete guy. He, you know, whatever they need him to do, he does. They need him to block, he blocks. They need him to, you know, make tough possession type catches on the goal line or in short yardage situations. He does that over the middle, and he can stretch the field on seams and flag routes. And, you know, he's extended from the formation at times. I mean, he's a good player that, you know, really is able to play on all downs in all situations.
He had hurt you guys, I think, in that game in Pittsburgh in that first quarter there.
Yeah, it killed us. Yeah, well, I mean, everybody hurt us in that game. There's a long list of guys that hurt us in that game. He was definitely one of them. Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for reminding me that, Mike. I forgot all about it, you know.
Bill, is there any carryover whatsoever from the last time you met with the Steelers?
Oh, yeah, I mean, I don't think they've, you know, fundamentally changed what they do. You know, offensively, you know, with Coach Haley, and defensively with Coach LeBeau, I think their overall schemes are similar. Now, they, you know, obviously game plan change from week to week, and there's a lot of new players that within those schemes that have different characteristics of some of the guys that we played before. But, I mean, there's a lot of carryover. I mean, the secondary, we've played against all those guys. Linebackers, we've seen, you know, we've seen Worlds, we've seen Woodley, seen, you know, 94. Timmons, you know, Kiesel, Ziggy Hood. I mean, you know, so there's a lot of guys out there. We've seen a lot of guys we've seen on offense, Miller, Sanders, Brown, Roethlisberger, you know, a couple of guys on the offensive line, Foster. But, you know, I got some new guys, too. So, but schematically, I think if you didn't know what year it was and you just looked at the jerseys and looked at the plays, you know, you'd recognize the Steelers. It's they haven't changed their offensive or defensive schemes, you know, dramatically from the last time we played them. But subtly and the players and, you know, the matchups are a little bit different, sure.
Hearing you say all that, this is obviously a franchise that's accustomed to success. Are you surprised that they're having the season that they're having?
Yeah, again, I think if you look at it on a play-by-play basis, you don't see that. You know, you look at the record, but, I mean, again, they've lost a couple tough games. I mean, they, you know, they beat Baltimore, which is a good win. You know, it's something we didn't do last year. They beat the Jets. They, you know, something we didn't do last week, so 2 weeks ago, whatever it was. So, you know, I mean, and they were in a bunch of close games. You know, they could have gone either way. So, when you look at them, I think you see a good football team that's kind of like us. We've been in a lot of close games, you know. We won more than we lost. They lost more than they won. But, you know, a couple plays one way or the other in any of those games, and, you know, you could have a big swing in what a lot of teams' records are. That's the league. So, I mean, they're competitive against everybody. You know, it's most of their games have come right down to the end, like last week's, you know, comes down to the last possession, really, onside kick. So that's, you know, they're perfectly capable of playing with anybody in this league. I don't think they lack any confidence to do that, and they shouldn't. They're well coached. They got a good program. They got a good football team. And I'm sure they feel like if they play well, they'll win. And they're probably right, you know, most of the time.
You have to prepare for the best of what they can do anyway, right? Because even Absolutely. If they're not doing it consistently, it can.
We expect every opponent's best every week, each player's best every week. So whoever the players are, whatever the team is, the things that they do well, things that they've shown they do well, players that are their key players, so we expect their best every week, absolutely. Without a doubt, we prepare for that every week.
Going with the Pirate again this year. What game time decision?
Yeah, big game time decision. I don't want to get too predictable.
Didn't know if you had options there.
Not many, yeah.
I'd be a referee.
I could, yeah.
Popular.
Just real quick about the Steelers and the Raiders last week. Again, would you pinpoint
I'm sorry?
About the Steelers and the Raiders last week.
Uh-huh.
Would you pinpoint it, I guess, back to that Terrell Pryor run?
Yeah, certainly that's a huge play in the game. I'm sure the Steelers are probably saying if we don't give that one up, you know, we probably got a lot better chance to win. I mean, I know it was only 7 points, but, I mean, they're on the 7-yard line. That's normally, you know, for the Steelers, field position at the midfield when they get the ball back, turns into a 7-point play and, you know, all at once, which, you know, they don't give up a lot of long drives. I mean, they're a good defensive team. It's hard to move the ball 90 yards against them. You know, sooner or later, somewhere along the way, they make enough plays and, you know, do something to knock you out of there. So, you know, percentage-wise, that was, you know, it was a huge play. And, you know, Clark came up in the run, the fake on kind of the offensive left side. And then once Pryor hit the edge, you know, Polamalu was out on the slot on the right side. And, you know, Pryor just split him and, you know, it's just, you know, sometimes just one of those things. But they, yeah, that was a huge play. I mean, I'm sure they're not worried about us doing that, you know. Even after Tom's fourth down run, yeah. I mean, that was a heck of a run, but, yeah. But, no, it's one of those plays where, you know, sometimes defensively you just get caught a little bit out of space, and especially early in the game, and somebody splits you, you know, a quarterback or a back or a receiver, whoever it is, and, you know, could be 30 yards, could be 90 yards, but you know what I mean? But once that space is there, if the guy's fast, it's all over. I mean, you can't, you know, you really can't coach speed and have a fast guy on the field that can, you know, take a play 90 instead of 20 is, you know, that's where those kind of guys are really valuable.
Those 8-yard runs sometimes feel like 93 yards, okay?
Yeah, well, that one did. Talking about Tom? Yeah. It ran, cut back, broke a tackle there by Wheeler, sort of, you know. Looked like he was going to slide, then maybe wasn't sure he got the first down, so decided not to slide. Yeah. Tom doesn't run often, but I'll say one thing. When he decides to run, he picks his spots. He, you know, usually does the right thing. It's usually a good play, so. It certainly, you know, catches the defense and our coaching staff by surprise when he does that. But that was a huge play in the game. It was a key play. And it was a good decision by Tom. All right. Great. Thank you.